Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin tail pro.
Show,
they got me started, lying hearted, I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Gruz Usaba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we wise up, unity so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black owned, black power moves. You telling lies, you think this shit gon' be televised. Black power, be scared guys, that be standing there like they paralyzed, huh? We say fuck the system, cause we above the system. We keep ARs and pistols, shotguns that's worth the crystal. But that's for self-defense, make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters, that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general, King Khalid Muhammad. We gon' make your day a holiday, I fucking promise.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin tail pro.
RBG, 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 RBG. My sisters, my brothers, the council, the elders, shit, that's really all I need. We suited, we booted, don't do it, you stupid, we head to the armory. Black woman and goddess, regardless, my heart just don't fuck with misogyny. Bullshit, I don't tolerate it. Melanated, so you gotta hate it. Barack fucked up another conversation. Trump finna get inaugurated, damn. Unify or die, NBPP.org.
First and foremost, the new Black Panther Party, no other Black Panther Party, we are not violent. We are for self-defense and self-determination. The most violent group in this country are the police. What is taking place by the police department to black people across this country is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It has escalated since the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2008. We have a people who are only 13% of the population, yet we make up 80% of the prisons. We have 50% unemployment rate in the black community, and it's actually even more than that because they're not counting our people that are in the prison. The 13th Amendment says you cannot be made a slave or indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 14th Amendment forced our people to be subjects of this government. We never had any say in that. We need our own nation.
What if God was one of us?
I got caught in 9 years, I'm cuckoo, guys, she ain't here, babe. I'm in the
I fell off, then got up. I'm standing tall no matter what. Real nigga never book. Thinking I should not judge while I stood in front of judge. Media, they telling lies about me. That don't matter much. I ain't not dirty though. From the future, don't know what I'm thinking of. I ain't not dirty though. When you're leaking just for reaching, ain't no drinking out my cup. All the yellow, oh yeah, Slim, she Barbie doll bag. She got pregnant for my partner, so I had to fuck her back. She was with another rapper, hold up, I can't talk bad. Say so when she called me. If I ain't a dick slinger, tell me what you call that. Look like one of us.
Nah, my nigga, this is dedication. This is anti-hesitation. This is real nigga celebration. This is Don Block declaration. 59th and 5th Ave, granny house with vanilla waitress. This is remedy to separation. Tupac of my generation. Blue pill in the fucking matrix. Red rose in the gray pavement. Young black nigga trapped and he can't change it. Know he a genius, he just can't claim it. Cause they left him no platform to explain it. He frustrated so he get faded. Like deep down inside he know you can't fade him. How long should I stay dedicated? How long till opportunity meet preparation? I need some real nigga reparation. Or I run up in your bank just for recreation. Dedication, hard work, plus patience. Some more of my sacrifice, I'm done waiting. I'm done waiting, told you that I wasn't playing. Now you hear what I've been saying. Dedication. Dedication.
Spent my whole life thinking out the box. Boxing homies 3-on-1, got DP but I ain't dropped. Chirp on me, here I come. Spin around the block, they broke on me. Said I ran a stop sign, but that's a lie. I spent my whole life staring at the stage. Playing Sega, daddy smoking Sherm. Mama playing spades, catching vapors. Grandma said I get some Jordans for my grades. That's my baby, when she died my heart broke 100 ways. Spent my whole life trying to make it, trying to chase it. The cycle of a black man divided, trying to break it. You take a lost shit, don't cry about it, just embrace it. Minor setbacks for major comebacks, that's my favorite. My nigga L said you do a song with Nip. K-Dot, he a better grip. I said he a man first, you hear the words out his lips. Without flourishing from the streets to black businesses. Level 4 yard living, given to false imprisonment. Listen close, my nigga, it's bigger than deuces and foes, my nigga. Since elementary, we close, my nigga, you're straight like that. I give you the game, go back to the turf and give it right back. For generations, we've been dealt bad hands with bad plans. Prove your dedication by hopping out Grand Am. I'm at the premiere, politicking with Top Nip and Snoop. Damn, clock watching the way we move. Dedication.
Hold up.
Blah. This ain't entertainment. It's four niggas on a slave ship. These soldiers and spirituals I swam against them waves with. Ended up on shore to their amazement. I hope the example I set's not contagious. Lockers behind gates but can't tame us. Used to be stay safe, now stay dangerous. Cause ain't no point playing defense, nigga. That's why I dove off the deep end, nigga, without a life jacket. Couple meals for the world, all my life cracking. Cook the books, bring it back, tell us no taxes. Royalties, publishing, plus our own masters. I'd be damned if I slave with some white crackers. I was mapping this out, I hit the heights backwards. Topping out the 85 and Reebok classics. Read a couple marathons just to get established. To make it happen, you got to have dedication. Hard work, plus patience. To some more of my sacrifice, I'm done waiting. I'm done waiting, told you that I wasn't playing. Now you hear what I've been saying. Dedication. Dedication.
Ah! Ah! here we are. Here's for the people. Egyptian mummies on a flag or a moon, and can't find food for the starving tummies. Pay no mind to the youth, cause it's not like the future depends on it. But save the animals in the zoo, cause the chimpanzee them a make big money. This is how the media villages on TV the picture is. Savages the villages and the scientists still can't explain the pyramids. Evangelists making a living on the videos of ribs of the little kids, stereotyping the image of the images, and this is what the image is. You buy a coffee pants and all of a sudden you are there Indiana Jones. And I keep out the gold and keep out the scrolls and even the bird bones. Some of the worst paparazzi I've ever seen and ever known. Put the words on this place that the world can see and it's all that we'll ever show. So the ones in the west will never move east and feel every day at home. Get tricked by the beast but the way them a go flee when the monster is fully grown. All I'm on the climb is where them two can defeat and them could I never clown. A spiritual DNA that prints in my soul and I will forever own, Lord.
Yeah. Savali, patience. What the old folks told me. Can you give a that? Discovering a world before this world. A world buried in time. Uncovered with rhymes. It gets no realer.
We born not knowing, are we born knowing all? We growing wiser, are we just growing tall? Can you read thoughts? Can you read palms? Can you predict the future? Can you see storms coming? The earth was flat, you went too far, you would fall off. Now the earth is round, if the shape changed again, everybody would have started love. The average man can't prove of most of the things that he chooses to seek of. And still run research and find out the root of the truth that you seek of. Gotta teach in universities and claim that they're smart and cunning. Tell them find a cure when we sneeze and that's when they're no start running. And the rich get fixed up when we get cut. Wanna heal them broken bones in the bush with the wet mud. Can you resign? Can you restart? Can you make peace? Can you fight war? Can you milk cows, even though you drive cars? Can you survive against all odds now?
It's crazy. When you feed people the truth, you don't know how they're gonna react. You're scared of wrongdoers, people that's just ignorant. Scared of the truth. Be patient. For now. Who wrote the Bible? Who wrote the Quran? And was it a lightning storm that gave birth to the earth and then dinosaurs were born? Who made up words? Who made up numbers? And what kind of spell is mankind under? Everything on the planet we preserve and can it. Microwave it, try it, no matter what, we'll survive it. What's you? What's man? What's human? Anything along the land we consuming. Eating, deleting, ruining. Trying to get paper. Gotta have land, gotta have acres. So I can sit back like Jack Nicholson, watch niggas play the game like the Lakers. In a world full of 52 fakers, gypsies, seances, mystical prayers. You superstitious, throw salt over your shoulders, make a wish for the day cuz. Like somebody got a doll of me, sticking needles in my artery, but I can't feel it. Sometimes it's like part of me, but I got a real big spirit. I'm fearless, I'm fearless. Don't you try to grab hold of my soul. It's like a military soldier, since 7 years old. I held real dead bodies in my arms, felt their body turn cold. Oh,
Why are we born in the first place if this is how we gotta go? Stay. To all the wisdom and knowledge seekers of the world. Savali, patience. Yeah.
Black power, black power, black power. You're listening to the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense nightly broadcast. We're coming to you live here in the belly of the beast in America, KKK, broadcasting all over the beautiful planet Earth to our people who are listening in the motherland of Africa, in the many countries that we know are listening. Black Power, salute to you. To our people that are listening in the UK, salute. In Canada, Australia, South America, Central America, the Caribbean islands, and definitely last and certainly not least to our brothers and sisters here in the belly of the beast with us in America, KKK, we send you a Black Power salute for continuing to support the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense on our nightly broadcast. Make sure you go to our website, www.nbpp.org. That's N as in New, B as in Black, P as in Panther, P as in Party.com. If you're interested in joining the New Black Panther Party, if you want to follow up on some of the information that we have put out in these many broadcasts, or if you simply want to make a monetary contribution to support the continued work of the New Black Panther Party and to support this broadcast, go to www.nbpp.org. Brothers and sisters, tonight we have, as we do every Sunday and Monday night, we have the honor and the privilege of having our show being hosted by the national spokesman of the New Black Panther Party, Brother Malik Maumau. Tonight's topic, we're going to discuss psychological and political effects of slavery. Is that you, Brother Maumau? Do we hear you coming in? Black Power.
Black Power, Black Power, Black Power. Yes, ma'am. Black Power, yes, please. Black Power.
Black Power, we're glad to have you back. We know you were dealing with some dental issues, but now you're back, and we have this platform for, you know, for the people and this subject matter that you've laid out, psychological and religious effects of slavery. We only had his topic is actually extended longer than that, but we only had so much space to put in this layout for the topic. But it's actually the psychological and religious effects of slavery. Will the real Jesus stand up? Very deep subject matter here, brother. So let's jump on off into this. As we know, today is Kwanzaa, the second day of Kwanzaa, Barigani, to everyone that's listening. And so what we want to do, or is it the first day of Kwanzaa? Let me get on track. The first day of Kwanzaa. I'm moving too forward. I'm moving too fast. Today is the first day of Kwanzaa, Barigani, everybody. And we're going to pass the mic over to our national spokesman, Brother Malik Maumau, Black Power.
Jay Maumau Moja. It's unity. Today we will be dealing with the ideas that have raffled us as a people, the psychological effects that has been stuck in our minds, and the religious context and dogma that has chained us to the leash of those psychological effects. I believe, I'm a firm believer, in order for us to obtain our true victory, to get to where we need to be, just as Moses saw that it was fit for the children of Israel to leave the dogma of that Pharaoh at that time behind and engrave something that was rooted within self-knowledge, self-awareness, political awareness, social awareness, Black power, and self-power, which is Black power. We're looking at the psychological and religious effects that has contained us since slavery, and we're asking that would the real Jesus please stand up. And we're going to call it out. And we're going to use the scriptures. But most of all, we're going to be practical. For many, many years, we spoke on the topic a couple weeks ago dealing with how we actually get towards the King James translation of the Bible, which was transliterated in the year 1611. Approximately 410 years to date. The original copy in English was translated by William Tisdale. William Shakespeare is writer's name. It was authorized later by the King of England, who was King England the Sixth, or King James, but King the First of England and the Sixth of Pope. The first colony established in the United States of America was in Virginia, which was Jamestown, we mentioned, in honor of the king. The United States colony at that time was still up under England, which so happened to be King James at that very apex of the slave trade through the hands of England. So all the constituents that was under England held hands to that which was considered to be the King's Bible, which we know today to be the King James Bible. Now, through psychological effects and control, even through the Dark Ages, we know the church has always used the instruments of the sun papal as a tool to control the minds of the masses. When we look at countries in Europe, from the 1400s to the 1600s, we look at these witch hunts. All of these witch hunts was orchestrated on the basis of the principle of the priests pushing the issue with all religion and dogma that led to the execution of thousands and thousands of people who was considered to be practicing that of witchcraft. Even in America, as far as Massachusetts, Connecticut, New Haven, New England, the Salem's witch hunt, these are even prior after the arrival of the colonizers and their religion. Many books was not even incorporated into the King James Version, even though it was still solely principally based on the recordings from the Roman Catholic. And when we deal with the Bible that was in the possession of the Roman Empire, we're dealing with the writings of Paul, who was a prosecutor of the early disciples of who we would call Jesus. For now, for the record, we'll reflect and refer to the character as Jesus on the basis that 90% of the people, whether they agree with the title or not, can relate with the idea in general of who we're talking about in relationship to the scriptures. Initially, we're looking at a date that just passed that has been also incorporated into the dogma. When you read Proverbs, Proverbs tells us about how man, or how we as men, can make the word of God have no effect by our vain tradition. This is Old Testament. This Proverbs. But when we talk about New Testament, we say Jesus came to change. But Jesus said, I came not to change, but fulfill. And we could go off of the 5% of the New Testament from what he's talking, which consists of whole scriptures, which is very little. Paul wrote 14 books in the New Testament. His good friend Luke wrote 2. Neither of these two men encountered the actual disciples of Jesus as we consider him personally in their lifetime. But they were honorary men of the church, of the empire at the time. It wasn't the church. They were honorary men of the empire. They were honorary men of the Roman Empire, who was the initial prosecutor. Luke, however, they have no even record of how he was even ascended. There's rumors he was a physician, but he was hung by an olive branch. It's no, they don't even really know how Luke even died or where he is. But we know what year Paul was around, born approximately. We know approximately, because see, Paul was the one doing the killing spiritually. The portions of the New Testament was written in Greek. Jesus, in his words, following the teachings of Jesus, in his words, in the scripture, he mentioned there's so many things I want to tell you or teach you in reference to his immediate 12, he told, but they were not ready. He said that you were not ready upon his ascension of departing from amongst them completely. But it's just like the way they did with Dr. Martin Luther King. They wanted to promote one image of him. And once they realized he was not going to go in the direction they wanted to usher him, they would destroy him and promote the image that they wanted to promote. So they won't tell you about the, I've been to the mountaintop and I've seen the light, but they'll promote the what, the 8 years before. They won't promote the reason that they took his life, but they'll promote the image that they wanted to use when they was busy taking Malcolm's life. I've had a dream, white hands and little black boys and little white girls getting along and everybody being peaceful. This is a dream that we could only dream. This is a dream that has tormented us for many years because we can only dream of such a reality in real life, practically. We've never could really experience that type of livelihood among such an uncivilized people. If they didn't treat us right, they wasn't going to teach us right. They used religion psychologically to be woover and to throw the cloth over. For many years, most people in the Catholic Church couldn't even read the book. They had to go directly to the priest. They didn't separate to the Protestants, the Protestants, the Martin Luther, and then on down to King Henry, the King of England, Elijah, King James, when he had the printing press. But yet he had authority as the king. Thus far, he had the best opportunity at the time with the printing press being so popular for the moment. So every ship that came over with a slave aboard it prior to America getting its independence was under the consent of those kings of England until America got its independence in 1776 and started signing treaties of his own, and then those slaves was directly for the state or the people thereof. But when we read from what we can decipher in the scriptures, even when it started off from the very essence of who, what, where, when, and why, when we talk about a prophecy, when Jesus was so-called put on the cross and supposed to be prosecuted, and he talked about the different charges that he had. He was charged with leading the insurrection. Those was one of his charges. Of course, they threw blasphemy on him, but that didn't matter to the Romans, him blaspheming. But the other charges of leading the insurrection. Started the riot. They said so many keys that let them know that he was the one, because first it started off in Isaiah when it mentioned where it says that a woman should be with child, a virgin, in reference. They give it to it in reference as a virgin shall be with child. And the virgin shall be with child, it give a description of the child. It gives a description of the child. And it tells us that in Isaiah, it refers to us, it says that the child, one of the names shall be Emmanuel. It tells us the name Emmanuel, God with us. It's a title. And even if we use the name Jesus, I have no problem with that because we're dealing with a different language. Just let me know in what language did Jesus come from and in what language, what do Jesus mean? See, long as it lines up, then we're okay. But see, there's a lot of fumbling and twisting. See, some of the truth is you can find in some of these pages. But it's also important not to know what they're saying, what they haven't told us. Important to understand what they haven't told us. The particular verse that gives reference to that prophecy was supposed to be in Isaiah, the book of Isaiah. It will be in the 7th chapter. And it will give reference to it. But it's other titles that they will give Jesus in that title, in that reading. Because they would say he would also be could be considered the Wonderful Counselor, the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Righteousness. Title that is to be inherited along the lines of his identification or characteristics. And then we find out, though, that even when we read about it, we say that Jesus is God. And we understand that how to interpret that because we broke down the same interpretation that he broke down when he said he was God. When he said, you God too. Isn't it written? Isn't it written in your law that ye are all God? But we would die like mere men when he was throwing that authority on them. Like, why y'all ain't standing up? Why y'all letting them come over here doing what they doing? The way they doing what they doing? When the man came to Jesus and asked Jesus, should he pay Caesar or not? That was not a religious question. That was not a question that can get you into heaven or hell. That was a question that was going to get you slung in jail or get you beheaded. Why, in one scenario, when they called him to the high priest to ask him about the things that he said on the radio or the things that he said in the synagogue or the things he said in the church or the things he said in the mosque or the things he said in the highways and the byways, he said, why you ask me? Go ask them what I said. Because I ain't said nothing in private. Everything I said was wide open. But that lets you know he was always in a situation. So we know 75% of the book is symbolic. His disciples asked him why everything he say is 75% symbolic. And he explained that. But we also hear when they say, God, they call me by my name, for I'm a jealous God. But we fear to reevaluate the scripture. Because like the Wizard of Oz, they have told us, don't worry about the man behind the curtain. Or nobody gets to see the great eye. And if you do have some worthy enough to call, they bluff. See what's going on behind the curtain. So even in that interpretation, when he was given it, it goes right back to tell you in Matthew's when he was allegedly in a situation where his father, mother, Joseph, Mary, was in a situation. Joseph wasn't buying the situation. I mean, I believe in God. I even had a dream about, you know, a vision came to me after we even talked about it. I had to go to sleep on it because it still ain't sit right. I had a dream about it. The angel came to me in my dream. I realized it was just a dream. And I had just woke up. So he was still packed up and ready to go. Until other things started to happen to make him realize something else was going on. But it said in Matthew that Joseph did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary home as his wife and named the baby Jesus. Right after it said, even in the prophecy, it says he should take the baby named Emmanuel. And they say he did exactly as the Lord commanded him, the angel of the Lord commanded him, took Mary home as his wife and named the baby Jesus. Now, at that very point, either one or two things take place. Either Joseph took it upon his own self to do other than what the angel of the Lord commanded him, because in Isaiah, it says his name shall be Emmanuel, which means Lord with us, forever counselor, Prince of Peace. And that's something important to hold on to. His title will forevermore be the Prince of Peace and the Prince of Righteousness. Now, forget not that there is a king and a king of peace and a king of righteousness. And Jesus is his priest. Jesus is the priest. Jesus is the high priest. According to your scriptures, Jesus is the high priest to the one who is considered to be the king of righteousness and the king of peace. Now, right in the prophecy with Isaiah 7 and 14, it mentions that Jesus should be a virgin, should be a child. Most virgins at some point are virgins before they become a child. That's the process. But this meaning of pure mind and body and spirit. You see, it wasn't just a virgin body, but it was a virgin mind. Society, what we produce a lot of now is, even though some of us upholding virgin bodies, YouTube and everything else are filtering, you see what I'm saying, that virginity from their mental. Because we're not filtering enough black facts. But we adulterate, it's Christmas, and put up a Christmas tree. And in the process of doing that, I'm going to cut again because I want the real Jesus to please stand up. All right, because we're going to get to this, and I'm hoping we can get someone in tonight so we can talk about some things tonight, because tonight is unity. You see what I'm saying? Tonight we need to bring all things one. It's a principle that we need to uphold in our seven principles. We're going to look at Jeremiah, these are sun papers, Jeremiah 10:1-4, and if you're an atheist, it's fine, because you're going to love this too. But if you're spiritual, then you can see through all this, and you can understand that none of this is our culture. But if you go back to your culture, even like Revelation tells you to go back to doing the things that your forefathers did, you cannot go wrong. You see what I'm saying? It's a culture that you no longer understand, but you think you understand the language of the land, but you don't. You can't understand the language of a snake because he speaks a forked tongue. That's why English is the hardest language to learn. You know what I'm saying? But we think other languages are complicated. Yeah, but we got so many synonyms and homonyms and antonyms till it's ridiculous, you know? But look at Jeremiah 10:1-4. And while we are what we are, and black power to the nation, black power to the spirit of all black people, our ancestors, they goons, peace to the elders, peace to the new beings. But black power over all, they'll give us one with the essence. But if you're looking at Jeremiah 10:1-4, it's giving you an instruction. It pretty much, in paraphrase, it says to the nature of, it says, O house of Israel, it says, follow not the ways of the nations, nor be terrified by signs in the sky, or be dismayed by their ways. Of these people, of those people, it says that the tradition, the customs, are worthless or vain. It says worthless or vain. It says for one cutteth a tree out of the forest. It says said it one cutting a tree out of the forest. And if it say one cutting a tree out of the forest, that means he didn't just go in the woods and cut a tree down. You know, he didn't go out there and just cut a tree down because he cut it out of the forest. He went to the forest, he cut a tree down, he brought it back with him. It say one cutting a tree out of the forest, he say, and then they take it and with his chisels, they shape it and adorn it with chisels. They trim it up, they take all the rough edges off, make it that, give it that perfect Asherah, if you will. They give it that perfect groom, that perfect line, you know. And then they decorate, they say they adorn it. They say first before they adorn it, they say they fasten it to the floor. They fasten it down somewhere where they bring it. They say to the floor. They say they fasten it to the ground because the ground is anywhere. It was in the ground where it was. That's the ground. The ground ain't nothing. You look at the ground, it's worthless. But it's precious. But you look at it as it's worthless. You spit on it. You know, it's nothing. The ground, you throw trash on it. It's just the ground. It's nothing. But they say they fasten it to the floor. So if you say floor, you'll think floor. You'll think something you want to sweep around, something you want to keep clean, something next to a habitat. You see what I'm saying? So in other words, they bring it back and put it somewhere around a sanctuary, somewhere nice and good, and they fasten it to the floor. They say with a hammer and nail. That's what it uses. It uses the word description of a hammer and nail. And this is Jeremiah, so this is something old. This Old Testament. This ain't Paul throwing something out there, getting the beating. You can't beat them, join them technique. You know what I'm saying? And beat them that way. It ain't that with this symbol I conquer. You know what I'm saying? And I get murdered with an AK, and you get to wear an AK around your neck to symbolize me sacrificing, you not dying. Part of it. It's the same thing that Jesus said. He came not to change, but to fulfill. Right when he got ready to start breaking down all the laws of Moses, because that was one of the questions they needed to know first. You see, don't think they ain't try to get that by first. You can't get past them with that now. Before you anti-Semitic out the door. Jesus he Jewish than more Jew than any of them. We more Jewish than any of them. But don't think they won't make you anti-Semitic. So don't think they ain't going to run that test on them all top. He had to be abundant with the Messiah law. You know, that's off the dump. So they went through everything else and anything else. Decorated, they chiseled it and trimmed it down, and they decorated with silver and gold. Yeah, that's what they do. They cut a tree out of the forest. And they said, don't do this. Do not do this. And 90% of the things that the Roman Catholics have instituted into the institutions of Christendom has been based on hypocrisy, because it's making you do what you're not supposed to be doing. It's turning on your neighbor and your back on your Savior. You have already been hoodwinked. You have already been confused and lied to. Jesus couldn't tell you straight up to beat the hell out of them. He even though he went into the synagogue or the churches, the same churches that run most of our people away. I'm telling you, we do not discriminate against denominations or churches. We accept our brothers and sisters of the Christian faith, because we know those who understand the true teachings of Jesus know that they have a hell of a job to do. And we are here to help them get that job done. They understand the assignment. They know they become the Jesus. And we will be, and I will be any disciple you need to help us accomplish whatever the job is that needs to be done. Because we are the God. We are the earth. Blames it. He said, the things I have done, you can do and you can finish it, because you know he say even greater. He didn't say the same thing or almost. You know, if you work hard enough, you can be just as good. You know, he didn't tell you that. That's not what it says he said. So you know he said even greater. He healed the blind. Many of you under the voice of our support have healed blind people. Many of us have been very blind. Many of us have been dead. Many of us have came to life like those dry bones that came up and fell back down again. Many of us came alive and was alive just like Lazarus and died and was dead for 3 days before we even rose back up again to stand upright in order to raise other bones up. But the thing is, speaking of what Jeremiah was in reference to, the topping to that is dealing with false idols and false idolatry and believing in the woos and the wild. Don't be excited and all into all the different cultures and different things they got going on. It tells us in Proverbs, through vain traditions, we can make the word of God. Now, you talk about in the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and God was made flesh. Well, if in the beginning was the word, I'm telling you, and the word is all of the power, I'm telling you, the book of Proverbs says you can make the word and got no power to it. The book of Proverbs says just by going along with your felonious traditions of man, you could take all the power, all the frequency out of the word. You could take every little bit of volume from the word through your vain traditions. Merry Christmas. Saint Nicholas. Santa Claus, Satan Claus. But that's what it tells you in pride. That's just a note on commemoration to how you behave. And you go out your way and spend $30 and $40 for a tree. You got families burning up in houses with trees. Just to commemorate that, and the only people that do that is the people who book tells them don't do it. Everybody's closed. You go to Korean, they stores still open. Whether it's a beauty store, whether it's a gas station, or whether it's a liquor store, or it's a grocery store, the Korean store is open. The Middle Eastern, his store is open. Every gas station he got open. And the 2-3 beauty stores he got open. The Indian, all their stores open. The Korean, everybody's stores open. It's the Christians, those of us who say we are the followers, that's what a Christian is allegedly to be, the follower of. Not a fan. See, that's the difference. See, y'all fans. Y'all ain't followers. Because when it gets to breaking down the mouth, see, you got to go, that's why you come into Jesus. And why you don't have the word and the name. And the name ain't in the power. And who you calling on? Jesus. And then they say, well, yeah, he's the son. He's the only son. And ain't no other son but him. Have you ever said, I'm the only son? Or did he say we are all? Do you have a pastor that say, come let me put my hands on you? Let me put this prayer all on you. Ask him do it how sweet came. When you go look at the book of Leviticus and read what it tells you about the holy or the anointing oil. And see, this is what I'm telling you. Read, look up, go do some work. It's the book of Leviticus ain't long. It ain't deep, but it's a law full of, it is deep. But it ain't long. But it's a book of laws. And the book of Leviticus
and Deuteronomy give you the description of the anointing oil. And on top of it, it's almost like something you would see like they would try to put into a curse. Be careful how you mix it. Look, I'm going to give you this lap of lesson, right? Now, if you wanna put a hex on them, or if you want to put an X on them, this is what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to take 3 drops, no more than 3 drops. You got to put 1 drop on the vehicle. Anything they're driving, you got don't put 2. You got to put 1 drop. And you got to put 1 drop on their steps, wherever they're going to step it. And then you got to put a drop wherever they're going to put their hand. But you can't put no more than 1 drop. If you do, it's going to go back on you. Automatic. You fuck around and drop 3 drops anywhere, 2 drops, it's back on you. And see, this is pretty much what it tells you about this anointing oil. Because it gives you all the ingredients. And it tells you anything other than this is anything but anointing. Look what they tell you. If the book tells you it takes frankincense, come rub no olive oil on someone and say that's anointing oil because you prayed on it. According to your book, it says it takes some olive oil, some sweet cane. It takes some hemp. You can't get anointing oil without some hemp in it. You got to put some hemp in it. So let's research it. Let's go into that, dig that up. And that's just a mental note to show how we get lost to the psychological effects of the religious of unreligious slavery. So this is the same way they was getting people executed on witch hunts. Okay, how you think we get so many different denominations? Okay, well, we Jehovah's Witness now? Okay, let's be Jehovah's Witness. When did we really start? Because we really started around 1800 with Taze Russell, right? Right, that's where we started with Taze Russell. But he was also Knight Templar. But we started with Taze Russell, who predicted the world was going to end at least by 8 times before the 19th year, 1900, which didn't happen. And the whole thing fell loose, and then they started a re-campaign. But it's a lot of other things because they realized, okay, we're looking at Jeremiah 10, 1 through 4, and we can identify with the demonicness within this. Just like when the Protestant, that's why the root word of Protestants is protest. When they protested against the Roman Empire or the Roman Catholic and separated, it created something similar to a denomination or the first denomination from the root, which don't make it good, but it still comes from it's still a sour seed. It's a lemon. It's still a lemon. No matter how much they try to filter that sourness out of it, it's still a lemon, producing lemons. But we need to know how to identify the lemon. With real Jesus, please stand up, all right? So we're going to Matthew. They go strictly into how Joseph did what the angel of the Lord commanded him. And it's clear what the angel of the Lord commanded him to do. He didn't say Jesus. He did not say Jesus. But as I say, okay, it might be, you know, light. You know, in another language, it might be new. You know what I'm saying? It's different, but it's still going to give me the same understanding. I have no problem with that. That's just being diversified. I could dig it. But in what language do Jesus mean God with us? And we learn where the J comes from. And we understand that the J didn't come around until at least 1100 plus years after Jesus. We know that there was no Jerusalem. There was no John. There was no Jacob. There was no Joseph. There was no Jesus. These were not even pronunciations. These are still not a part of the pronunciation. This is not the title to which he would reply answer to. Hey, Jesus. Nor was he Greek. But mind you, all of the new 90% of the New Testament was written in Greek. 14 books of the New Testament was written by Paul alone, based on the information that he had accumulated from the multiple raids. Did J. Edgar Hoover? Who gonna give J. Edgar Hoover the support to be the world's greatest Pan-Africanist? I'll wait. And decades to come, the children is giving praises to J. Edgar Hoover, all the great accomplishments that have been developed in the hills and the grips of the adjacent parts of the continental U.S. because they operate way beyond the borders. But anything constructed from the early, from the deacons of the fence, from the Marcus Garvey, from the Nation of Islam, every other splendid group and every other group in general, from the Black Panther Party to the mobs, any and everything that took place in the hills of America that went down, he was responsible for taking it down. And his greatest accomplishment was destroying everything black. And that was just for the hell of it. And this is the light of where we took Paul. He killed your markers. He destroyed everything your Elijah attempted to do. He put a shadow over your noble Jew Ali. And he silenced your great author. When we read about how Jesus goes into the scriptures and starts to tell you about how you should pray, he don't only go into telling you how you should pray. But prior to him going into telling you how you should pray, he goes into every command because it was asked, how do you approach the laws of Moses? Specifically and generally, we want to know eye for eye, tooth for tooth. That's what we really want to know. We don't want to know nothing. That's what they want to know, because they wanted him to say everything, anything. Say you about it. Because one of the men who was on the cross with Yahshua, because there was no Jade, it was Emmanuel, it was Yahshua. Jesus cannot even lie to anything traditional. Esau can line up. Yahshua can line up. Emmanuel, all day, I tell you Emmanuel all day. Jesus does not line up. Jesus is a lot of different okie-dokie thrown into the mix to create a personification to distract the real identity. It wasn't taking all the power into what he can do, but it was restoring the power into what we can do. When they wanted to know about eye for eye and tooth for tooth, he explained to them according to the law.
That's why when he said he coming back to bring the sword. He showed you when he went off up in the church at one time, kicked over the collection plate, and pulled out a bullwhip. Beat half of the pedophiles that's running the churches. Half of the people that's stealing the elders' money. That's waiting on you and I to fulfill that void, to be that savior that they're looking for. They just praying for who their parents prayed for. Like Joshua. After Moses left Asian and the children of Israel to wander into their own ignorance because of their own fear. But once they were subjugated to being tired, the younger generation had to bore up, which would accomplish that which was needed to be done. And even after that had been done is the time where we come along where we find Yahshua up under the gripes and hands of another oppressor, the enemy of the Roman Empire. After they had already been promised this land, given this land, they allowed themselves to fall up in the grips of another oppressor, paying taxes to an oppressor. Should we pay tax to Caesar or not? I tell you what. Bring me a penny. You could have brought me a piece of, you could have brought me a chick, a cash, anything, whatever the basis of a dollar for you. But you brought me the face of Caesar. So I already know who you work for. I know who you work for. I mean, look, whoever that is on there, you get that to whoever that's for. But what I'm talking about was for God, get that to him, which was already promised. This was the land. You can't give it. You can't take it. You can't sell it. It's yours forevermore. Right now, somebody else got it, but it's giants. We can't beat them. You know how many guns they got? It ain't about guns. You know, it's about wit, scared of a gun. Even about that, it's about wit. Sometimes guns will help extend your wit. Because wit without guns is nothing. Pick on nerds all the time. But what he replied to them was, he broke it down simple. He broke it down to them simple. And he told them exactly how they should deal with their enemies. And yet, the Europeans have found a way to make it say what they wanted to say, to program you the way they need to program you. So many different books was taken out of the Bible that was even translated into the King James Version, along with a lot of other verses and other things added to the Bible. You got the rules for a household. You got various scriptures in the Testaments of the Bible that actually give you basically the same reading. And most of them are in the book of top books that Paul wrote, right? You got Ephesians. You got Ephesians 6, 5, and 8. You got Galatians 3 through 22 and 24. You got Timothy 6, 1 and 2. And most of them, in paraphrase, they read to the degree that enslaved. And a lot of translations will get you, because you have to do it to national versions. But it's all the basics. It says, slaves, obey your earthly master and do it in reverence for the Lord, right? And do it in fear of the Lord. Don't just do it when your earthly slave master is watching you, but also do it when he's not watching. Because it is your Lord God, Jesus, whom you are serving. Now, do that sound like your Jesus? Now, do that sound like the same Jesus that they mentioned went off up in the churches, kicked over the collection plate, pulled out bullwhip, and ran them up out of there? Do that sound like the same Jesus that told his disciples, it's been many times I've sent you guys out without purse or script? That means to go out without money or any collateral whatsoever, right? He's saying, I sent you out barefooted. I wanted you to look hobo so you wouldn't draw no attention to yourself. But when you got to where you got to, did you need for anything? Did the comrade take care of you? Yeah, you was good. Okay, well, this time, what Jesus told him was, at this time, I'm telling you, look, if you got anything, I mean, if you got anything, you working with anything, or if you ain't got no money or no money done right now, if you got any liquidation or anything where you can get you some money or get you something, I need you to go out and get you something to work with. I need you to go out and get you a sword. Jesus commanded. He stated. This is what Jesus said, you know, because he knew that they was closing in. And it might be time where it might have to go down. Now, it was time when he let them get a lick in or two, you know, because, you know, he had to eat that one. Or that too. But it wasn't meant to just eat them all. Because if it was meant all, Paul would never be walking around with Peter. Peter would never have been walking around at all times like when the Honorable Dr. Khalid Muhammad was walking around with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan when he was helping them to rebuild the nation of Islam, when the Honorable Dr. Khalid Muhammad was walking around like Peter, or Peter, in a sense, was like the Honorable Dr. Khalid Muhammad, someone we can relate to, was walking around with two swords at all times, die for Yahshua or Esau, or Emmanuel. Soul brother was ready to die for him because of the mission. That don't sound like the same Jesus would tell the slave, even though I'm not gonna get a dime for this cotton. I want you to get out there and pick that cotton for Mr. Johnson like you picking it for me. And pick it with reverence for the Lord. Boy, pick it with fear for the Lord, matter of fact. You know what I'm saying? And don't just pick it when Mr. Johnson watching it, but pick it even when he ain't watching. Because guess what? I'm watching. See, these are the things that intelligent Nat Turner had to read. If they give you glimpses of the movie, it's not what they show you all the time, it's what they don't show you. You know what I'm saying? But if you ever watch glimpse of any documentary, or if you've read the story, understood how he was connected as being some type of prophet based on the fact of him being some type of minister or a preacher or somewhat, he was also attempted to be used by the devil to go to plantations, to minister and administer this type of garbage into the minds of misbehaving plantations. Slave to pump the fear, the psychological fear, and to preach the psychological fear into Negroes. So it was only so much. So like if you could see the movie and you could see to the points where he's standing up there like a preacher in the pulpit, unlike today that only has something to tell you what Paul said, and then he get to going into what him and his wife did at the mall and what his daughter did at the college, and he make a couple of jokes right before they ask you for two or three offerings. I want to tell you what he said. because Jesus even narrowed that out. But they are programmed to give you everything that contradicts the truth. If they didn't treat you right, they wasn't going to teach you right. Lord knows I forbade the Lord to release the true information of the Bible while we were still in hands of these slave devils, because they would have gotten and still used it against us. Sealed, like it says in the Revelation, that it'll be sealed that only the tribe of Judah, only the tribe of Judah, only the last of the tribe of Judah, only black folks, black power, only black power will be able to decipher. But this will call for the power to define. See, when they say angel and you say angel and we say angel, we must have a total different understanding from their mythology or mythological lies. We must not see a white 6 feet plus foot cracker with blonde hair and blue eyes. We must not see that. If you can't say you saw an angel and you see that, because everywhere in the scripture, even though it is mentioned that there are wings, we have generals among you today. We got admirals among you today. They got brothers and sisters that's down the street from you that got stripes and wings and balls. Right now, you got different ranks. You got 2 ranks, 3 ranks. You got archangels. You got cherubims. You got seraphims. And you got Nephilim. You got all type of divisions. Understand what I'm saying? But the most important thing that you should understand is that you already know what is supposed to be expected when it was told to you that you should never and always be careful when entertaining a stranger. Why you should always be careful? We know and we have always heard it in the scripture. It tells us to be careful with entertaining strangers, because it ain't say sometimes you ain't going to know. It don't say sometimes you ain't going to know. It ain't going to say every now and then it might get past you. That ain't what it say. It say be careful with entertaining strangers. Whether you're a stranger or not, the most important point that is pointing out, like I said, when they get to talking about Ethiopian and the leopard, as soon as you open the Bible in Genesis, it says a leopard can't change his stripes no more than an Ethiopian can change his color, or Ethiopian can't change his color no more than a leopard can change his stripes. Which one is most significant, you think the story is talking about? It's talking about the Ethiopian. Here's the same thing. Which one is the most significant? So we got to open up and we got to realize and reevaluate. Don't be the Dorothy, the timid Dorothy, or the cowardly lion, or the heartless and the brainless scarecrow and the tin man, or armor with nothing, no, you know what I'm saying? Don't be that. Out of bronze with no heart, don't be that. Be all strong heart, no brain. Over the real Jesus, please stand up. It goes into Matthew. Read Matthew's. Open it up and read it. It tells you a lot what it says. It goes off up into, even prior to when it gets to the Our Father prayer. He tells you, Jesus will give you instructions on how you should pray. But before he gives you instructions on how you should pray, you know, he also told you how you should, what he felt about eye for eye. And I guarantee you, if you read it and you read it in depthly, you will either be confused or reconfused. But you cannot make it say what they've been trying to make you say it say if you actually read it. Saying what you are reading. Let's not be like we have been as kids and understand what we know from the flood before we was even taught to be able to read, only because it was already indoctrinated into our psychological. Oh, Noah in the flood. But never reevaluated the scripture to make sense of it. Got a PhD in psychology, but you a Christian. How? What type of Christian? I ain't saying you're not. But how in depth is your Christendom? Because it's beyond mere belief. It's some things you have to know. I can vouch and say I'm a Christian, and I believe Jesus is the way and the light. But you must understand I'm on some deep shit. And I can say that and understand what I'm saying because I'm not spooked out. What's more important in the eyesight of the Lord? When he went into the Our Father prayer, before he tells you how to pray, he tells you specifically how you should not pray. Since you want to get into it, I'm going to get all the way into it is what he get into. And he point out every little devilish thing they do. He been doing it since he was a baby. Because the culture was already installed properly to understand right and exact. So improved. Tell me, God. Children come up, if you my mom and dad, who is God, mom? And we can't give them an intelligent answer, but we tell them the fairy tales like Santa Claus. Don't question God or the thought. But if the mind is into, see, there's no such thing as intelligent answers, only intelligent questions. See, just by that child asking that question, that child got all the answers it needed just by that energy being released. You in darkness. What the child understood was you ain't got a damn clue. He knew that right then. The cues in your eyes bounced around your head and tried to remember when you first asked that question and realized you never really got the real answer. He realized right then that he don't know. Because so whatever you finna say after that, they ready for the next question because they already caught. They know. You don't know. Even you do not know. But Jesus explained to him specifically. He said, when you get ready to prostrate, you know, when you get ready to meditate, God don't need your money. We need your money. You need your money. When they was told to give a tenth, when Abraham was told to give a tenth, Abraham gave that tenth. But it was symbolic. Aaron was supposed to collect the tenth. For the very purpose of the people not being able to keep their stuff together, keep the storehouses up, have enough of what they need when they needed something. So they had to create some form of government that could collect that. That was their tax. They up here tenth and tax and this, that, and other, but the money going toward, but they're not investing in the children. They're not sending the kid like they're playing dirt, but they're not teaching them. They're not lining them up with some of them farmers and trying to pay his way to go to school for agriculture so he can invest the knowledge and they can invest into the land. Or he likes to play with blocks. Let's line him up with that carpenter or the brother always patching up the people's house, send him to school for carpentry. And then the money come back in tenfold. But you got people believing they just kicking money in and God just going to miraculously bless it back to them. And he tell you he don't work like that. He said, prayer without works is dead. Jesus tell you in this part when he tell you to go pray, he say, simply, he say, do not stand up in front of the congregation doing that shit all day long. Do not do that. Don't stand up there all day long instead of be talking about praying for Sister Johnson and Brother Larry. He said specifically, do not do that for the simple, and don't be asking for this, and don't be asking for that. He said, because the Lord already knows what you need before you ask. He say that. But what he does say after that, he say, simply, whenever you get ready to meditate, prostrate, or to regather, take yourself, as he refers to at that point, would be the closet. Whether it's a literal closet or a place of sanctuary
or a place of quiet, relaxation, and calmness, take yourself there. Even if you're in the midst of a whole bunch of people, take yourself there. Even if you don't move and move a muscle, some find some way to take yourself there when you do. And when you do, simply say, Our Father, which art in heaven. He gives you Our Father prayer, which is based on you constructing the image that you are perceiving, that you are striving for, and manifesting it and bringing it before you as you see it in your mind, and clearing your mind from everything that might hinder you from doing it, like forgiving your brothers and your sisters and things of that nature. He said, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. He said, come on earth. He said, come in heaven. He already told you when the man asked Jesus, where is the kingdom of God? He said, no one will be able to tell you, here it is or there it goes, because the kingdom of God is within you. When you talk about heaven, you're talking about the dwelling place of God, or you could be talking about the orange skies, looking up at the sun, moon, and the stars. That's just another form of heaven, the orange skies. Or you could be talking about the dwelling place of God. Which is the heavens of the mind, which is closer to you than your jugular vein. Temple of God is also within you. He says, the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. On earth, though, manifested on earth as it is in heaven. Give me my day. I accept what has come to me and what's mine. Forgive me for my transgressions and my transgressions and things of that nature. Lead me not into temptation or astray, but lead me on the Sirach Tamus, the King. Lead me on the straight path. And it don't say nothing about in Jesus' name. Say something about in reference to Amun Ra, but it don't say nothing about Jesus. It might mention Amen. But that's what he gives you in reference to your prayer, your meditation. God does not need your prayer.
It doesn't
prayer.
Say amen. I mean, well.
That's what I said. It might give reference to amen, but he does not say nothing about in Jesus' name. Amen. There's more innovation. And remember, in the book of Proverbs, say innovation can take away power of the word. So you won't talk about the word. They said the innovation, the made-up stuff, they ain't got nothing to do with that. Now, this is what he tells you specifically on how you should do that. So your prayer is for you. Your prayer is for you. The sacrifices and the charity and the zakat that we give back to help support that of our nation, to strengthen our nation that has been robbed and privileged, to strengthen the storehouse in order to regather and to rebuild that which we have left. Also, when you read about Jesus in reference to the laws of Moses, he said he came not to change, but to fulfill. Anything you put in any other way other than the way or interpret it to be as it was initially put is changed. You can say up any type of way you want to say it. Curve in it. And if it come 1 degree closer back in the direction in which it left, then it changed. Talked about eye for eye. And he talked about tooth for tooth.
He said, verily, I say unto you. I want to help y'all. I want to get this scripture exactly for you. Well, I'm going to paraphrase until I can pull it up for you. And you got to Google anything in front of you. You can just look it up and find out exactly what verse in Matthew is somewhere between 5 and 6 or somewhere. But it says, verily I say unto you, you have heard an eye for eye and a tooth for tooth. He said, but if a person strikes you, some translations they have implemented. I went as far as to read the concordance and to read it into the Arabic Hebrew to look at it and try to break it down through concordias and different things of that nature from the actual Hebrew to see exactly what words was used to see whether I can actually find a right or left or even a cheek or jaw in the translation. I cannot find left or right cheek. I can't find left or right, nor cheek nor jaw in reference in the translation in reference to that phrase. Well, eye for eye, where in many translations you may find it say, where it says, well, if a person strikes you on the right cheek, it will say, turn to them the other. And in some, it will say, if a person strikes you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek. Or they will also add, if a person strikes you on the right cheek, turn to them the left cheek translations. But closest to, because this is the English, and Jesus wasn't speaking English. in his terms, they do have the word other. Is for if a person strikes you on your cheek, turn to them the other. That's the purest form of translation.
Black power, black power, black power. So
black
basically
power.
It says return, it says turn to them the other. That means you're supposed
exactly.
to smack them on their
exactly.
cheek.
Okay, okay. See, now you're getting
serious.
See, that's why it costs to read it. We have to read it because in the actual translation, the closest to translation you can get without being biased, it says, for if a person strikes you on your cheek, turn to them the other. That's what the translation gives you. And the word other that they give you pages the definition. I can give you a few. From where I'm at.
Black power, black power. We got a caller on that's been on for a second. It's been on for a second. It's got an 864 error code. 864, your mic is open. What's your name? What city you calling from? 864 error code, your mic is open. They've been on hold for a minute.
I'm about to take South Carolina. Can you hear me?
All right, Brother Tate, Black Power.
Right.
Black
you know
power.
What I mean? So listen, Black Power, bro. Listening to the, you know, to the message, man, you know, I talked to a sovereign citizen last weekend, man, and you talking about the, you know, the J and the reason why the Europeans threw the J in there because it's shaped like a hook. It's to hook you. And that's just one of the many things, you know, that's hidden right in front of our face that, you know, some people don't take the time to, you know, do the research. When I say research, you can't go to their library and expect to get the truth. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, you're going to be going around in circles and stuff like that, man. So definitely, it was an empowering message tonight, man. Definitely appreciate that. And for all the listeners out there, do your research. And like I said, you're going to have to – they burnt the libraries down. Everywhere these colonists went, They burnt the libraries for a reason. So you have to come to them for the quote-unquote truth. So like I said, even this Google, a lot of that stuff is questionable, you know what I mean? And anytime you set out in the light, then they blackball you. You know, they want to take your platform down. And, you know, I had one of my YouTube pages taken down. And, you know, just they never gave me a reason why. So I had to circumvent that and go around them and use other outlets and stuff like that. So like I said, you put all your eggs in one basket, don't expect good things to happen. Definitely appreciate y'all again. Black power.
Black power. He brought out another point I was thinking about I wanted to raise about they said they burned down the libraries. But that don't mean they burned down the books. They took the books. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
You know, people got they burned down the library, but they took the books. They took the knowledge.
They got
like he says, so you have to come to them for it. Yeah, when they burned it down, that means that particular, you know, corner of the earth where this building stood, we didn't burn it down. They didn't burn it down not only just because it was a grand larceny, you know what I'm saying, but it was to traumatize, you know what I'm saying, for that particular area, no different than the cross burning, you know what I'm saying, is to put trauma, you know, like, okay, scorched earth, like this part right here, we didn't annihilate it, you know, so that whole concept, even to today, you know, how many black bookstores do we have in our community? We know they got Amazon and Barnes and Noble, but people seem to go to Barnes and Noble. So people definitely want to buy books, even if you buy it off of Amazon. Yeah. So the books are the value, but they making it to where you got to go to them to get the books, even to today. Where are the black bookstores in the community? You know, and of course, if they're the ones with the bookstores, which books are they going to put up front for you to pick out? Certainly not no book that's going to be bringing you knowledge itself. It's going to be just like their grocery stores. The first thing you're going to see is going to be their candy bars, their Zoom Zooms, their Wham Whams, their pig everywhere. You know what I'm saying? You're going to the meat department, you're going to see pig. And in the little corner somewhere, you might find some kosher something. But everything else, when you walk into or as soon as you walk in, the fresh food, like the fruits and vegetables, going to be along the back walls. But you're going to have to pass by their displays in the front. They rolls with nothing but canned and processed. The stuff that's going to give you cancer or Alzheimer's down the road. Break your immune down. But if you just go along, well, why you got to go, you know, it's similar to like they saying, burying knowledge in the book. It's psychological. Warfare of slavery. You got to go through all these obstacles, these enticements. You know, you're going to pass by these boxes and gold and shining and glimmer and pretty pictures. And if you really wise and you want to feed yourself and your family correctly, you'll go to that aisle with them fresh fruits and vegetables. Now, common sense should tell you, if you go to the aisle with the fresh fruits and vegetables, you're going to have to cook it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to cook it. And when you cook it or you eat it immediately when it's fresh and you know, when it's fresh and, you know, it's going to give you all the nutrients and the minerals that's in it. But if you go and if you don't cook it within a week or so, no, definitely within 2 weeks, it's going to rot out, right? I mean, it ain't fresh no more. And they got all the nutrients in it. So how the hell can you go into the other aisles and get a can and they say, this will be good for 3-4 years, 1 or 2 years,
preserve.
When it in its natural state? Yeah, but look how they're preserving it with the cans. And also because the cans, which they learned when they were shipping product, when they started canning stuff, and the ships, the cans were called scurry. Scurry is mental illness. It would create mental illness in you because of the aluminum, the tins, high concentrations of high metals, that are going into your body. This is why you got Alzheimer's, cancer. And like you said earlier, you might take one mineral, just one drop. That's all you need for the healing. But if you put two or three drops, a same substance can become poisonous. It's alchemy.
Yeah.
It's alchemy, brothers and sisters. If you take a vegetable and a fruit in its natural way, fresh, it's going to give you substance and energy to live. But go eat a rotten food. You're going to get sick. Go and eat anything rotten. It's going to do the exact opposite effect. Because you're supposed to do it at the right time when it's fresh and nutritious. Now, it's not doing it no better that you didn't put it in something. And to preserve it, you're going to do what? They, most of the stuff they preserve is in salt, high sodium. Oh, you wonder why you got high blood pressure. Why you can't think straight. Are they preserving it? If anything, if you buy something on the shelves to properly be preserved. Yeah, or to properly be preserved, it would be in a jar. It would be in a jar and quasi-semi-like soda, like fermented to preserve it. But not a can. See, the glass is a more purified vessel to preserve something. And you can preserve it if you do it in that manner. But if you put it in a, it's just like, you want to, how does a damn window look that's made out of metal as opposed to a window that's made out of glass? Those are two different substances. It's going to be very hard to see out a window made out of metal. In fact, it's the exact opposite. These people are so diabolical. They would put all that in front of you first. Who are they? The poison animal feeders. Because we poison animal eaters. These people, these Europeans, they didn't even expect to live past 30, 40 years. You were 40, 50 years old, and as a European, you was older, I ain't gonna say no elder, you was old. Well, that was not our normal way. Our normal way was to be 100, 100 and something or more, but averaging 100, 100 and something. But we eating like them. They don't have no, they don't expect no life long expectancy. Even when in our culture, when you become an elder, we take care of you. We want to just sit at your feet and get knowledge. You know what I'm saying? We just love you and appreciate you. You know what I'm saying? Not the European culture. You get old, you a burden to them. They want to throw your ass in a closet somewhere over the old folks' home. They want you to hurry up and die. Their mindset is not to take care of old people or people, period.
Yeah.
they want these devils can literally say it, they want to get rid of the useless eaters. And they have put it in effect. All that shit that, look, we read about this in the 90s. Remember the Illuminati books that came out in the 90s? Remember that New World Order book? These people started getting there for people ready. Behold the pale horse. Elijah Muhammad even told folks this 40, 50 years before the crackers started putting it in books in the 90s. And now it's all coming to pass. The theology of time, the fall of the dollar, the pestilence, like in these books. The brother just sat there and told you, well, the preacher man didn't told you. I'm just baffled. You know, I could understand. It's too much knowledge out now. And, you know, I could kind of understand. I hate to say it in my mouth. But if I was a creator, I'd be like, man, these people are fucked up. This earth needs to be cleansed. Because why in 2022 are black people, I'm talking about our people, and you're supposed to be conscious, and you got your children worshiping a white man. And the white ways.
That's that spell of Leviathan. That's that spell.
It's horrible. They be pro-black than a motherfucker. Going to see White Christmas. You got to wake up. If you don't know, that's why we keep telling you. We're trying to raise the consciousness. Because we got to, you know, I realize, brother Mama, it's amazing when you're walking through and you're coming into your consciousness, and now you see other people coming through it. A lot of people don't know what we knew. This is why we keep, I just wanted to say this, and I'm going to pass the mic back to you. This is why we are constantly giving you the same information, but in different manners, but the right information, the proper propaganda. Because the enemy is constantly propagating you with bullshit. Every time you turn on the news, oh, you got to take this shot. This shot going to stop you from getting the vaccine. Oh, that shot is not going to stop you from getting the vaccine. But if you take this other shot, it's not going to stop you from getting the vaccine either. But it's going to stop you from getting sick from the other shot that broke your immune system down. So now you're vulnerable to this. Oh, shit. Now those two have mutated, and now we got another form out here. It's biological warfare that is literally happening before everybody's eyes. People know goddamn well this is not making sense. I've heard people tell me it didn't make sense to them. They did it. They did it because of their job. Now they walk around here petrified. I know people that took 1, 2, 3 shots and got COVID 1, 2, 3 times. I kid you not. Now, if you didn't fail for all this religious hokey pokey, all these years, hokey pokey, hocus pocus.
It's that mentality, it's that very mentality that promoted. See, that's also what they call a Negro crack. I think that's a new word, but I like it. I think that's is it between a Negro crack.
Oh, Lord, go ahead.
It's more than like a black folks that like Joe Biden, you know, or black Democrat. I don't know, you know what I'm saying? But whether it's a Republican or a Democrat, you know, or whether they are allegedly independent, none of them have our best interest at hand when it comes to a position in the hells of the United States of America, unless they're advocating for a sovereign country of our own, a new Africa, a territory of our own, with a government of our own. Until then, like I said, I don't think none of them have our best interest at hand. But it's that same slave mentality that promotes that old lazy religion that promotes that lazy grit up and go vote. And if you want to change something, mentality. Well, we know for a fact what voting can do. We know what voting have done. We can look at the Reconstruction period and can see what happened whenever we outvote them white folks and they don't like it. They do stuff like they did when they ran up on the White House. That ain't the first time they act like that. So when they vote and they don't like how we vote, then what we going to do? Give me another plan to go with that vote, you know, because when they get ready to run up in there like they did in 1873 during the Reconstruction period and like they did when they ran up in the White House and y'all ain't half-assed know what to do, you know, then what your vote matters, you know, because it comes to this. Like I was pointing out, that it's actually Matthew 5:38. Matthew 5:38, it say, ye have heard, it has been said. This is in reference to, I guess, a mediator, Jesus communicating to them in reference to what was said about in the Torah or the law. That what ye have said, it say, ye have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. So we can be certain that that is a reference to the Moses law. When Moses said, if they take our eye, take one of their eyes. If they hit us, we're going to hit them back. And that's how we're going to establish a mutual respect.
I guarantee. And that was law. Just like when the child running in the house crying, holding their eye, what happened? He hit me. Go hit him back. You don't hit him back, you don't whoop him, I'm whoop you. That was law. So he said, ye have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You got your tooth, don't stop till you get here. And Jesus said, but I say unto ye, I say unto ye. He said, but I say unto you that ye, listen very carefully. It says that ye, this is what Jesus said, I say unto you that ye resist not. Jesus said, I say unto you that ye resist not evil. Right? Now we're talking about eye for eye and tooth for tooth. Okay? Like you say, you won't know, I'm going to tell you. Okay, you heard. It's been said. Eye for eye. Like you say, I come not to change the law, but to fulfill it. Okay, prove it then. Well, what about this? Okay? You heard. Eye for eye and tooth for tooth. I come not to change, but to fulfill. So if I say don't hit them back, it kind of changes. You say you changed it and fulfilled it, but you can't say you can't change it. You ain't changing it and fulfilled, okay? So he say, but I say unto you, resist not evil. But see, before he tell you anything, the first thing, what did he say? Resist not evil. What did he say? Before he said anything, we talking about eye for eye and tooth for tooth. And the first thing Yahshua said was resist not evil. Somebody got to be reading it somewhere. What was the first thing he said? Just say it for me. Resist not evil. What do the word resist mean? The word resist means to go against, to refrain, to hold back. And what do he say? Resist not. So he say, don't hold back. Resist not. He said, go on in. Go ahead on. Ain't that what they say? Go ahead. He said, resist not. Don't resist it. That's what he said. He said, resist not evil. He said, don't resist it. He said, don't resist it. Hold on. It's hard not to resist evil. Now, he telling you first thing he said was, don't hold back. The first thing he said was, is that not what he said? Resist not evil. It ain't too many ways you could just go on, go along with evil and give in to it. It ain't too many ways you could give evil what it wants. The first thing he said was resist not evil. And we ain't even got started. He said resist not, but whosoever smite thee, in this translation it says, on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. First thing he said, don't resist. Don't hold back. It said, for if a person strike thee on the right cheek, turn to them the other. In translation, it does not say right or cheek or left or chin or nothing like that. It said, for if a person hits you, strike you, turn to them the other. That, but the way they got other also, see the way they put other also a good way to put that. But it's not turning to the other cheek. Because the first thing it tells you is don't fight it. Don't fight it. And it ain't saying don't fight. You say don't fight it. It's a difference in saying don't fight and a difference in saying don't fight it. Don't resist.
But it's also Black Power. It's also, in addition to that, it's just like saying, don't be the aggressor. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But if they strike
it's
you,
gonna let you know, don't be
strike
them back. But at the same time, it's going to tell you what to do when it's time to go in.
Yeah. This
is what it say. This is what it say.
So
this is not my book.
And then they turn it back. You know what I'm saying? So he's righteous. You know what I'm saying? That's our whole point. He's righteous to be a freedom fighter.
And he's telling them.
And if you not,
he ain't changing it.
And if you're not a freedom fighter,
he's not gonna change it. He is not gonna change it. He's gonna say the same thing Moses said. And he's gonna tell you, matter of fact, he might end it up. The only difference in what Moses said was and what Jesus said is, Moses say, take a tooth for a tooth. Jesus say, take a tooth in his eye.
Right. And here today,
listen,
you know what I'm saying? That was 2,000, 4,000.
Listen.
And here we go today.
That's what he say. Because that's what he's going to say.
Yep.
That's the first thing he tell you, do not resist. And sometimes they're going to say, do not resist the evil person. It say, go along with them. But it's a question to this now. It's a question to this because we're going to go on. It say, ye have heard in 38, in Matthew 5, ye have heard that it was said, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. He talking to his Hebrew brothers and sisters, some of the same ones that was always damning them up. And they want to know because they questioning his faith right now. He taking the Semite test. They won't know where he's staying at, whether he's Semite or anti-Semite. They need to know, you know. They want to know where you stand on the laws of Moses. Because if you come to change them, they're going to say you're anti-Semite. So he said, but I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever smite thee on the cheek, turn to them the other also. Now, like I say, the word other, what they give you is two pages of definition. It's differently than, opposed to, other than what was suggested. The opposite of that which was suggested. And the question is, he was struck. What is the suggestion? When someone walk up to you, when the police walk up to you and stop you and say, hey, boy, come here. What you doing? Get up against the wall. What is he suggesting? He's suggesting he can do that. If nothing else, right? Right. He's suggesting he can do that. So if he walks, the person walk up to you out the blue and just slap you, yeah, as bad as some of us may be, you, that bad individual, you, any that person just walk up and smack you in the face, what is they thinking? They to you, they might be crazy. But if they did it to the person next to you, the first thing you're going to be like, damn. Evidently, he must feel like he could, because ain't nobody that crazy to come do you like that, you probably thinking. But, yeah, he would be crazy. But he can do that. That's what he suggested. So the thing is, it's a turn to them other than what was suggested, differently than what was imposed, what was being imposed. First thing he told you was do not resist an evil or evil person. Because he calling it by evil, and he calling it out as an evil person, a low-down, dirty person, conniving, however you want to look at it. He say, don't resist them. And we talk about an eye for eye, a tooth for tooth. He ain't talking about just somebody just hit you. He talking about something evil. He went straight into evil. He went straight into the treacherous. He went there. You want to know about eyes? I'm going deep with it. He said, but evil person, he went all the way left with it. He said, do not resist an evil person. For if they strike you, turn to them the other, differently than what was imposed. But I'm going to show you why I say that and why I mean it. Or you could beg to differ, and let's talk about it. Because he said, turn to him the other also. And in 40 it reads, it says, and if any man will sue thee at the law, because see, we talking about eye for eye, tooth for tooth, right? So when he going into it, he said, if any man sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Don't fight him. Give in to him. And if he wants your cloak, give him your cloak to go with it. And whosoever shall compel thee to go 1 mile, go with them twain, or go with them too. So again, they try to tell you again. They say, look, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. What I think about it, look, don't resist the evil person. Don't hold back. Don't fight it. Don't give it. Go into it. If he hits you on the right or if he hits you on the cheek, give him differently than what was imposed. Give him differently than what he suggested. Give him more than what he bargained for. If he tried to sue you for your coat, give him your cock to go with it. You understand what I'm trying to tell you? Whosoever shall compel you, if he force you, if he make you go 1 mile, go with him too. Now let's analyze this. I'm an evil person, right? I'm going to make you rob this bank with me. Now the first thing the Lord told you was do not what? He said, don't resist. I got the gun to your head too. You coming along, and you're going to be the getaway driver. Yeah, that's what that sound will be like, what we going to do. And I'm going to force you. I'm going to compel you, like the book say. And we're talking about eye for eye, though. Force you. I'm going to compel you to go 1 mile. And the book that I already said, do not fight, do not resist. If I make you go 1 mile, you go two. I want you to explain to me how you can be righteous and go the second mile after I compel you to come help me rob this bank. I'm an evil person. The book says do not compel, do not resist an evil person or evil. It says don't resist. That's what it say. It ain't say resist with all your heart and might. Because we ain't talking about this. If an evil person comes, it say resist not. He ain't say resist them. It say resist not. Man have added all these other little words that you see to confuse your perception. And read it in the Hebrew. It don't add these extra words. It's a short verse. Get a concordia. Break it down. Let's see what it says. It makes sense now why Jesus told his disciples to go get swords, and then Peter say, look, I already got two. Already, Peter, what you doing with two swords already? Because he always had two. And here, he said, if they force you to, so now I'm going to make you rob this bank, how you going to take it? What, you going to go kill everybody in there? How can you take it to the second level or take it an extra mile and still be righteous? Huh? Because he gave you an example. If I sue you to clue my cloak, give me your cone, the cloak to go with it. And we talking about eye for eye, tooth for tooth. He giving you the illustration to give me more than what I beg for. He ain't telling you to turn and let me beat you silly. He said give to them the other differently than what was imposed. Other than what was suggested, because at that time, the Romans was imposing a threat amongst the people, and they had to pay taxes, and the reason the soldiers was there, because there was rumors of an uprising. Of course, there were many people that tried to kick it off. One of the men that was on the cross, that they put Jesus up there, he was up there for the same charges Jesus was up there for, leading the insurrection and murder, because he killed his rep. They had rats running around, telling the pigs, all kind of things, everywhere. They were honking and ratting, and all the dogs, snakes, and they was everywhere. One of the men that was already on the cross when Jesus got there, why the cross don't symbolize Jesus when they've been torturing people like this for years? Ain't nobody walking around with no guillotine on. These are all Roman Empire torture methods. It ain't like they just made this up to put Yahshua on there. It was the men up there already. It was a slow torture. He only stayed up there for 3 hours. Most people stayed up there for weeks. That's why they tripped out when he disappeared and was off the cross by the next morning. And they said, oh, well, he gave up his ghost and just died. Gave up or wasn't due to who or what? Man, you crazy. Who you telling that to? That's why they started bugging out. Because all of a sudden, now his body missing. Well, where was his body at? It was supposed to be in the tomb. But what they said about the tomb, they said the burial clothes still look like they ain't never been put on. Never been put on because he never put them on. Why would he put them on? Because he was dressed like a gardener. Well, Jesus was. He was there. But why he didn't say nothing to them? For the same reason he stuck them away when he was on the cross. That's your mother, them your sons, y'all leave. Who took them off the cross? the man Joseph, the lad who he was buried on in Nicodemus, the one who was coming to tell Jesus everything that everybody was coming to say about him. Every time Judas got ready to go tell something, Nicodemus sitting right down in the high council listening. Going back, she sure telling Jesus everything. The night before they got ready to come get Jesus, Nicodemus came over there to shoot a cataclysm to Jesus. They was talking the cataclysm. How can a man be born again without re-entering the mother's womb? They tell you but didn't tell them that those were his secret disciples. Told his other disciples, as many disciples I have that are not of this flock.
Will the real Jesus please stand up?
He said, the works I've done, you can do and even more. What was Jesus? He didn't even reveal himself to the disciples when they came. They always had to go through some cataclysm to meet him. Go to this town, and you'll see a barefoot man walking with a pitcher. He'll be on the town square walking around with a 40 bottle. They say he's crazy. It's one in every city. But that's going to be our go-to man. He'll show you where we at. And that's how they met up with the Last Supper, and so on and so on, until they didn't meet up no more. They were departed the same way Musa departed, the same way Moses departed from the children of Israel. You think he was just going to turn his back on his wife and children? When he left Israel, the first thing, when he left Egypt, the first thing he found was what? An Ethiopian man in what land? Ethiopia, Abyssinia, where he met his wife, Abyssinian wife. By the time Solomon was born, half of Ethiopia was already under the Mosaic law. Why do you think Sheba was looking for a husband worthy of courtship? She found someone that was kind of close to her roots. In particular, Moses could have been her great-great-great-great-grandfather. Moses had Ethiopian children. The last that they know of Moses is he went up Mount Moab. According to the scriptures, it reads that Moses went up Mount Moab and was buried by the Lord, and until this day, no one knows where he was buried. Not even the mediator. I'm reading this. And I read it. They're not even a mediator, though. But the mediator is telling us in the scripture that he went up Mount Moab. The only thing they know is they never saw him again. Sad to say, he went on to Ethiopia with his wife and kids. He went up there to get some principles to come back for them. They wigging out, tripping out already.
And is it a wonder in this day, in these last days, as they say, why the U.S. is trying to wage war in Ethiopia right now? Not just Ethiopia, in Mali and Ethiopia. Right now, in 2022, and South Africa. And these are all places, and let's mind you, in South Africa, where the English, the same people, we're dealing with the same people, the West.
Same colonizer.
These warfares, same colonizer, same locations of great wealth, same major portals of transportation and merchant docks, key locations on the planet. You know, as we get ready to wind up, you know, for tonight, we want to make sure that, you know, we make sure that everything that the brothers laid out and that has been brought to you, that you take to mind and think, research, do your own fact finding, and just think, you know, in this day, the fact is, a few days ago, the white man made up all the money. He done lost all goddamn year. Off of y'all black asses for a good section of it. You know what I'm saying? You took your hard-earned work money and gave the credit to a fat white man. You got to be tripping with yourself. And you sitting here worshiping a white Jesus when all the while Yeezy is black. Not only black, a black freedom fighter. Come on, Mama. Check us on that, brother. Hold on, let me see. I was just double checking because it was another caller had put their hand and it looked like they fell off. Press back. I don't know if they can call back in because after 9, but we only got a few more minutes. So if you're on the line, we got a lot of people on the line by the way. So if you're on the line and you want to make a comment, this is the time to do it. For those of you who are listening online and you didn't call in to 718-664-6398 before the 9 o'clock hour, it won't let you call back in. But we got a lot of people who was listening tonight. Very powerful information that you were dropping. But I just want to remind the callers that are on, we've got several people on tonight, to go ahead and press 1 if you got a question and a comment. This is the time to do it before they cut us off. Otherwise, we want to remind everybody that's listening once again to support New Black Panther Party at www.mbpp.org. To join, go to www.mbpp.org. As you were, Brother Mama, Black Power.
Black Power, Black Power, Black Power. So as we see, if we continue to look at that and evaluate that, we can also come to grasp that there's no way that you can also take that extra mile and still be righteous. An evil person can't force you to go 1 mile to do something wicked, and you take that to the extra mile. Matter of fact, you would be considered a martyr to rather die than allow an evil person to force you and condone in something of such wickedness. But another way you can take that to the extra mile is putting something on they wicked behind. Now, I assure you, you can make sense out of that scripture in the original text as it is reading and read if you break it down and go along with the contents. Because the first thing it instructs us not to do is do not resist. It say do not resist an evil person. Do not resist. And remember, he said he come not to change. And we remember he's always talking in parables. So let's think of him as the way we know him, you know, as we would know Fred, as we would know Malcolm. You understand? As he would speak to us as the ears of Jagger Hoover was riding his back. You understand? And think about what he's actually telling us at a time that it wasn't so profitable to be telling us. And many of these questions that was asked was not political questions. I mean, they were political questions. They were not spiritual questions. These was not questions that was asked of him at this time to determine whether he was actually down with the Mosaic law. They just wanted to know where he was at to raise the issue to push him out because they were trying to weed out whoever the possible uprisers could be so that they could get the Roman soldiers out their back and they could just pay taxes and get back to being the Pharisees and the Sadducees and running things and just paying their taxes and keeping Rome out their hair. At this point, they got Rome in their hair. So they trying to point out the real problems, maybe. They doing everything to get them all out the way. And Yahshua is the one that they really, really wanted. But at various times, he had to be sophisticated enough. Not saying that it wasn't time that he didn't get striped on the right cheek. But when he did get striped on the right cheek, he never turned and said, hit me again. The only one time he was struck that is mentioned is because he was being gaffled up under certain situations to where he was questioned. As we mentioned, he was called up to the high priest, and they wanted to know what he said. We heard you saying something. Yeah, what that word you said about eye for eye? You know, what that word you said about two for two? That's what they did. And he mentioned, he said, I said nothing in secret. Everything I said was public. If you want to know what I said, go down there and ask your little rats what I said. Go ask them what I said. And when he said that, one of the captains struck him. Pow. I could see Yahshua licking his lip, you know, spitting the blood out on his foot, you know, and replying as a rebuttal, saying, if what I said is a lie, then you testify to what's the truth. But if what I said is the truth, than what you hit me for. See, he didn't say, hit me again. He asked him, what you hit me for? What you put your hands on me for? If what I said is a lie, then you tell me what the truth is. You tell me was to, if what I said was a lie, but if what I said was the truth, then what you put your hands on me for? He didn't say, hit me again. So, dear beloved people, read your scriptures. Reevaluate your scriptures. If you want to be a follower, know that he said many of his followers, you know, he pick up your followers, your cross, and bear him. But first of all, understand him and not what they say, who he say he was. Understand that he wouldn't have you dropping no gifts at no Christmas tree. You know what I'm saying? He say, throw that in the kitty and let's hit the road. The one who has something, he said, well, let me bury my father first. He said, well, you do that. You go ahead and bury your father because we got work to do. So for those who are Christ followers and not Christ fans, fans of the Messiah, and those who anticipate on being that Messiah, as he gave illustrations when they was attempting to stone him one time for saying that he and the Father was one, for saying he and God was one. When they asked, look, man, tell me this question, another question. Hey, look, if you is the one, just tell me straight up. I'm sick of all the riddles. Yeah, I'm following you around trying to figure out what's going down, and the only thing you keep on talking about is all this other little whatnot. Just tell me straight up, bro. Is you the one or not? He said, I've been said that I and the Father are one. Oh, he said it. Did you hear him? He said they one. Get him. He said, whoa. He said they couldn't wait to get him. The first one that started hollering and gagging, drooling at the mouth like wild beasts with wild dogs with rabies. Get him. Get him. They foaming out of the mouth. Can't wait to see him down. They start grabbing rocks. He said, wait a minute. Isn't it written in your law? And I'm talking to each brother and sister that have access to just read this. Accept it and embrace it as your own message. Directed to you as being an uplifter and the raiser of your nation. Black power to the black nation. Psalms 82 is a short verse. Psalms 82 and 6. Is what he rebutted and told them when he replied, isn't it written in your law that ye are all God, that you are all sons of the Most High, but we will all die like mere men. Let that stick with you as we ask and seek and request that the real Jesus please stand up. Dealing with the psychological effects of religion and slavery, we must come to grapple with the real truth of who your God really is. And know that ourselves, Lord and Master, is the closest thing that you can get to a Savior in these last days and times. I salute you, Black family, Black nation, peace, love, and we shall rise. 229 Black Power.
Black Power. Signing off. Brother Mama will be back tomorrow. Same black time, same black channel. Support the New Black Panther Party at www.nbpp.org. Join the New Black Panther Party at www.nbpp. Black Power salutes everyone that listened to tonight's broadcast. Be sure to share this broadcast to everyone that you know on your social media platforms. Simply go to www.blogtalkradio.com/the New Black Panther Party. And this episode, as well as every episode we've ever ran, this 7-year journey, is available on demand. Black Power.